Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue with this new series on the book of Jonah called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to, we don't have to run away from it. Why don't you invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part three of a message called What to Do When It Feels Hopeless.
Psalm 50, verse 15, God says, call to me in your times of trouble, and I will save you, and you will honor me. So, once I know what's the source, I've named what I'm really feeling. I just have this vague feeling of feeling bad. I know what's causing it. I know the thorn. Then I begin to pray specifically. Now, here's the key to asking for help. I want you to write this down. Pray the word of God. Write this down. Pray the word of God. What do I mean by that? I mean, take scripture and say them back to God. This is what Jonah did to get his miracle. Jonah clearly is well versed in the Bible because in this very short prayer, he prays eight different scriptures. Everything he said is a quote from Psalms. Eight times he quotes Psalms. He's just quoting what other people have complained about in the Bible. Now, it's a whole lot better to pray the Bible back to God. God loves to hear his words prayed back to him. You say, well, what should I pray? Write these down. Three things you should pray. Pray the complaints to God. Pray the complaints of the Bible to God. Everything Jonah just prayed is actually in the book of Psalms. He's just saying, I felt this way, I felt this way. He's quoting David. You wouldn't know that unless you knew scripture. But you pray the complaints to God. So when you read one of those lamentation verses or chapters or Psalms, you can go, God, this is my prayer. And you pray to God, God, I am angry with you right now. You pray the complaints to God, laments. As I said, they're in Job, they're in Psalms, they're in Lamentations, the book of Lamentations. Number two, pray the truth about God. That's the second thing. Pray the complaints of God, pray the truth of God about God. God, you're a good God. God, you're a gracious God. God, you're a just God. God, you're a fair God. You pray what the Bible says about God back to God. Okay, God, here's my complaints. They're in the Bible. Here's what the Bible says about you. That's in the Bible. And then the third thing, you pray the promises of God. God, you promised to do this. Now, keep your word. I can't tell you how many times in prayers I've said, God, I need you to keep your word. God, I need you to do what you've promised to do. You have promised right here, and I'll say the promise. If I've got it memorized, you have promised to do this. God, I need you to keep your word. Pray the complaints of the Bible, pray the truths of the Bible, and pray the promises of the Bible. Number five, fifth thing you do, focus on the goodness of God to me. When everything looks dark, when everything, I can't see ahead, there's a fog, it's shrouded, I can't see the future, it's pitch black. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. I focus on the goodness of God to me. And what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to mentally shift my mind when I'm hopeless. I'm going to have to choose to stop thinking about the things that are making me feel hopeless. And I'm going to have to choose to change the channel of my mind and start thinking about the things that I can be, I know for sure they're going to lift my spirit. The goodness of God. How he's been good to me in the past, how he's promised to be good to me in the future, and on and that. In verse 7, Jonah says this, "When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord." Friends, that's the answer to hopelessness right there. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. I turned back to the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the power of God and the love of God and the fairness and the justice of God and the kindness of God. I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord, and in my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. He's talking about heaven. Now, you know, the Bible in the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, but the Greek word for turning your thoughts is the word metanoia. You know what that word is? It's the word for repent. Repentance simply means to turn your thoughts. That's all it means. Repentance does not mean stop doing bad stuff. Repentance means change your mind, turn your thoughts. Think about it in a different way. Look at life from God's viewpoint instead of my own viewpoint. Look at the goodness of God, not the problems in my life. I turn my thoughts, metanoia, I repent. When you feel hopeless, you need to change the channel of your mind. You need to change your focus. You look at your problems, you'll be distressed. You look within, you'll be depressed. You look at Christ, you'll be at rest. All depends on what you're looking at. You look at the world, you'll be distressed. Look around, you'll be distressed. You look within, you'll be depressed. You look at Christ, you'll be at rest. All depends on what you're focused on. You change the channel. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. What a beautiful verse. You need to memorize that verse. You need to take it home, write it on a card, and you need to know Jonah 2:7 by heart. Everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice should memorize that verse, because one day you're going to be driving a car and you're in an accident and you think this is the end, and you'll say, "And when I had lost all hope, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord." And that verse will be there for you. It can't help you if you don't hide it in your heart. The Bible has all of the things to get rid of your hopelessness. You just don't know where they are. And if you pored over this verse like Jonah did, he knew the Psalms so well that when he's drowning, he can quote 8 different Psalms from memory, and he's quoting the goodness of God, and he's quoting the complaints of David, and he's quoting the promises that are going to save him. Can you do that? That's God's way of getting out of hopelessness. You need to start thinking about God's word instead of thinking about your worries. If you're thinking about your worries, it's just going to be swirling down, 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 down. If you're thinking about God's word, it's going to be going up, up, up. Look up when you hit bottom.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, "Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck." In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. You can call us at 800-600-5004 right now, or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
One of the Psalms that Jonah remembers and quotes is actually Psalm 27. Look up here on the screen. Jonah says, I would have despaired, I guess so, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. I would have been in despair unless I had believed. I'm going to focus on the goodness of God, God's goodness to me. When I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to God. God, you're a good God. This is not a good situation. And it's my fault. I recognize it. It's my fault. I'm here because I was running from you. It's my sin that caused this pain, this problem. I know it, but you're still a good God even when I'm not good. And I will turn my thoughts to the Lord. I would have despaired unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. You know this verse that I just read you. You just know it in the New International Version. We sing it all the time. Look it up here on the screen. Here's the same verse. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I will remain, this is verse 13, I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He was anywhere but the land of the living when he's praying that prayer. I remember quoting that verse, standing out in front of my son's home when my youngest son, Matthew, lost his battle with mental illness and took his life. It was the worst day of my life. And I remember saying, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He will not return to me, but I will return to him one day. Regardless of what you're going through, God's purpose, God's grace, God's mission for your life is greater than the problem you are going through right now. I will remain confident of this. When I had lost all hope, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord. As I said earlier, you need to memorize that verse. Even when the problem is your fault, it was Jonah's fault. He got himself into that mess. That didn't stop the grace of God. Now there are two more lessons we learn when you're feeling hopeless. Number six, reject false fixes, the solutions, and accept God's grace. Reject false fixes and accept God's grace. Now we've all seen people in big trouble who turn to God only as a last resort. They try literally everything else to solve their problem before they'll finally, in humility, turn to God. And they will try some of the stupidest, most worthless things instead of God when they're in deep trouble. Instead of turning to God's grace, they turn to everything but God. Their marriage is falling apart. Their career is falling apart. Their body may be falling apart. Their reputation is falling apart in shambles, and they're looking to everything else. Reject false fixes. Last summer, I took my family on vacation to Canada. We went to Banff. I'm kind of a rock and mineral kind of guy. I love looking at God's creations and minerals, and I went into one of these great, beautiful rock stores up there. But there was one section that had a whole bunch of quartz crystals in it for healing. And they were named. So like, you know, if you got a poor sex life, you need this crystal. If you're bald, going bald, you need this crystal. If you got acid indigestion, you need that crystal. And, you know, if you're depressed, you need to put this crystal in your room. How stupid can people be? But they're making a killing selling rocks. Now, I like crystals, but they're not going to keep my hair in place. Jonah 2, verse 8. Here's the next thing Jonah says. Those who look to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Jonah knows it's his own fault, but he knows God is still a gracious God, even though it's his fault. He caused all this problem. So those who look to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Now, today, we don't carve idols anymore. Little idols and stick them on. We buy them. We all have idols. Ours just look prettier. Some people idolize their car. Some people idolize their home. Some people idolize their front lawn. Some people idolize the clothes they wear. We idolize fame today. We idolize fortune and wealth today. We idolize pleasure. We idolize sex as if it's the most important thing in life. We idolize popularity. We idolize power. We idolize all kinds of things. We are just as idolatrous as previous generations. All right, just our idols look nicer. What do you idolize? Anything you think about more than God is your idol. Some people idolize their job. That's what they're living for. The job is God. Some people idolize the next date. That's all they're thinking about. What's going to be my next date? Some people idolize marriage. Getting married is the ultimate pinnacle of life. It's not. Anybody want to give a testimony on that one? It's a good thing. I've been married almost 45 years, but it's not God. What do you idolize? What do you idolize? Those who look to worthless idols. You're looking for some other solution to your problem instead of turning to the grace of God. You forfeit the grace of God. You know, when I saw those crystals in that store and all the things that were promising to cure, I thought of this verse here on the screen. Romans 1:25. Instead of believing the truth of God, many people choose to believe lies. They choose to believe lies. Like, this crystal is going to make me feel better. Worshiping and serving created things rather than the Creator himself. Who made those crystals? God did. They can't talk. They can't listen. They can't give you advice. They're idols. They can't solve your problem. People choose to believe lies. We believe lies all the time. Our culture is filled with lies that we believe. If it feels right, it must be right. That's a lie. It may feel right to you. That doesn't make it right. If it feels right, it must be right. That's a lie. It's just not true. I am the master of my fate. That's a lie. You are not the master of your fate. That's easily disprovable. It's easily proven wrong. You didn't choose most of the major things that made you you. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose when you were born. You didn't choose who your parents were. You didn't choose your race. You didn't choose your natural gifts and aptitudes. You're not the master of your fate. Most of the things that made you, you had no control over. It's a lie. It's trying to say, I'm God. God is not God, I'm God. He who dies with the most toys wins. That's a lie. He who dies with the most toys still dies. And we're not keeping count because you're not taking any of it into the eternity. God helps those who help themselves. That's a lie. It's just not true. It's not in the Bible. God helps those who trust him, not who help themselves. If it's to be, it's up to me. That's a lie. If it's to be, it's up to God. You're not God. God is God. People choose to believe lies and they forfeit the grace of God. Look at this verse on the screen, Philippians 3:3. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ has done already for us. That's the grace of God. That's how you're going to get out of your hopelessness. Not by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. We depend on the grace of God. Jonah didn't try to save himself. When he's at the bottom of the ocean in this big fish, he's not going, "Now, can I remember my lifeguard Red Cross training? I'll hold my breath deep. I'll swim to the top, and then I'll tread water until a Mediterranean cruise ship comes by and picks me up." He's not trying to save himself. Stop trying to save yourself and forfeit the grace of God. Jonah says this, Jonah 2:6. "You, O Lord, saved me, and you brought my life back up from the pit." That's a euphemism for death. You brought my life back up. I was dying. He may have died. I was dying. Now, here's the seventh thing you do when life seems hopeless. Number seven, do what Jonah did. Express gratitude to God in advance. Express gratitude to God in advance. Before you're out of the situation, while you're in the belly of the fish, while you're at rock bottom, while things are swirling around. Now, I need to explain the difference between gratitude before and gratitude after. If I wait until after God solves my problem to thank him, that's gratitude. That's thankfulness. Thank you, God, for solving my problem. That's gratitude. If I thank God in advance before the problem has been solved, that's faith. Does that make sense?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. This book connects you to the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, it's always encouraging to hear how Daily Hope helps listeners like you, how it helps you mature in your faith. Let me read you a letter I got just recently from Sherry. She said, "Pastor Rick, this ministry has literally saved my life. After a series of disappointments, I had lost all hope, and I saw no reason to go on. And that changed when I discovered Daily Hope. Now I hold on, praying expectantly." You know, that's the little acrostic we use for hope, H-O-P-E. She said, "My circumstances have not changed, but my outlook has. And now rather than being depressed about where I am in life, I've learned to be thankful for this time of spiritual growth. I don't know what the Lord has planned for me, but I know it's good, and I look forward to a future walking side by side with Him and using this experience to help others through their own struggles. Gratefully, Sherry." Sherry, I can't tell you how much this letter means to me. You know, God will never let you down. He's with you every step of the way. And thank you so much for writing to me and let me know how God is working in your life. I'm praying for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. By the way, thanks everybody for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.